fine crouton.
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95 BFM.
Oh, kia ora, Amelia. How are you?
Hello. It feels like it's been 1 million of years.
It does. Time is no longer linear. It's been a week, but yes, it feels like a long time. How are you going?
Oh, you know, live, laugh, love. languish, all the good L words.
Excellent.
Yeah, lockdown.
What are we talking about in the world of words today?
Today we're going to be talking about singing and accents, and kind of more particularly why people lose their accent when they sing or kind of tend to gain a kind of Americanized accent.
Cool, okay, this is a very interesting topic. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, so kind of First of all, like the main thing that I guess is kind of is obvious with singing is that the rhythm and the pitch of what you're saying changes.
Yes.
Yes. And so a lot of accent is based on rhythm and pitch. And so you're going to have kind of exaggerated rhythms and pitches in singing. And I think this partly goes to explain, I don't know if you've had this experience. A lot of times when you'll hear someone singing, and I'm doing hand quotation marks now, not around singing around the next, but in a New Zealand accent.
Oh, yep, yep.
Mm. A lot of people will hear that as Australian.
The way that music singing has slightly changes the way it sounds, or?
Well, I mean, partly because New Zealand and Australian accents, though people sometimes don't like to admit it, are quite similar. the traditional New Zealand accent, not really my weird accent, but a lot of people in New Zealand speak with not a lot of pitch. It's like relatively monotonous.
Yes.
whereas Australian English is very melodic, very exaggerated pitches. And so when you listen, I know the first time I listened to Bat Rider, which Sarah Mary Chadwick sings in an extremely thick accent, I assumed it was Australian because it has those kind of familiar, slightly strangled vowels.
Yes, I can see why you'd think that, yeah.
The melodicism. And so it already starts to become ambiguous just through singing.
Right, so it's already sort of alienating it from what you would hear in a talking sense. We also have this like terrible sense of cultural cringe, which I think we're very slowly starting to get over. I mean, people we play here at BFM have got over it for a long time, but is that part of it as well? People doing it on purpose? What's the deal,
yes,
Amelia?
So I mean, I guess to kind of, I probably should have started with this. There is an aspect of it which is American cultural hegemony.
Yeah.
And like cultural imperialism. Like, we hear a lot of American music, and so it feels natural to a lot of people to Americanize their accent when they sing because that is what singing sounds like.
Right.
But yeah, I kind of want to talk a bit more about the ways that it's not like that, because I think it's easy to jump to that conclusion.
Mm.
And also, you hear a lot of people say, oh, they're singing an American accent. When you really listen to it, you're like, it's not an American accent. It's just not a New Zealand accent.
Okay, that is interesting.
Yeah, so part of that is rhythm and pitching, elongated vowels.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sing, you elongate your vowels because those are like the good notes that you're hitting.
And is that something that in... Yeah, that's true. You use the vowel to really draw out a note. You're not going to try and sit on the T for ages in a word, are you? Because that's quite hard.
It's because it's non-voiced in some senses. I was reading a big article about T's. It was very complicated. but yeah, so even I think, sorry, I'm going to use a lot of examples that I'm hoping people will be familiar with.
So far, I've managed to catch most of them, so we're good.
So I think the elongated vowels thing comes through when you listen to stuff like Bresa Creating Cake or the Phoenix Foundation, and it's kind of like mostly a New Zealand accent.
Yeah.
But there's these kind of more open, more elongated vowels.
Because we do like to swallow a vowel when we're speaking in New Zealand.
Yeah, totally. And so opening up the throat makes it easier to sing. and it kind of de-New Zealandizes your vowels, because New Zealand vowels are quite nasal. So yes. When I say 10,
it could be it's 10.
Right,
yeah.
It's right up in my nose, right?
Yeah.
And to sing that, I don't want to really subject everyone to my singing, but it would be like 10. It's like it's not a like a traditional like diaphragm singing.
Yes. So,
you kind of have to change the vowel a little bit in order to sing it.
So people are doing this kind of subconsciously because it just works better for singing.
Yeah, if you want to project, if you want to open your throat and sing with kind of your full voice, you kind of want to change it to a bit more of a 10.
Yeah, I'm following.
10. And it gets kind of more towards like a mid-Atlantic kind of a sound.
Now, mid-Atlantic.
I actually want to do a whole thing on mid-Atlantic, but that's like what you call that old movie accent that's kind of not American, not British, very theatrical.
Cary Grant. Cary Grant, Peck.
Catherine Hepburn. Yes. Yeah.
I'm following. Yeah.
All the hotties.
All the hotties, yeah.
All the hotties have elongated vowels.
And I think if you listen to people singing in a New Zealand, like in a New Zealand accent, it sounds exaggerated because you have to put like extra power behind those strange nasal vowels if you want to keep them like coming through, and it gives you a very kind of like specific sound that is not like what you would hear in musical theatre or something like that.
Yes, I am following. So it's kind of, we've got these like influences of, as we've already talked about, imperialism, musical imperialism, cultural imperialism, and we've also just got the way it like works for bodies to sing better is how we kind of end up with this sort of change in the way we hear accents in music. And how does that like...
Yeah, I mean, sorry, not to butt in too much.
No, I guess it's your segment.
I wouldn't really want to say better. I think it's just in the tradition of Western singing.
Yes.
There has been like a history of preferring that kind of sound.
So
like,
do you...
there's many different ways to use your voice as an instrument, and in like Western musical traditions, we like big chest voice, and that involves softening and opening the vowels.
Uh-huh, okay.
And that also just happens to be how Americans talk. Americans have more open vowels.
I've got you now. I've caught up. So who do you have examples of people who do sing with that like really New Zealand inflection, or that kind of like the New Zealand vowel sound coming through strongly despite all of those kind of subconscious prejudices that we've got?
I mean, we're going to listen to one at the end.
Okay, cool.
Heather from the Brunettes has quite a pronounced New Zealand accent when she sings. And I think it's interesting to contrast it in the song that we're going to listen to Jonathan from the Brunettes, who in the song says, "When I sing, I like to sound American." And his American accent is quite pronounced. So there's like more of a twang. And less of the kind of like non-regional, like mid-Atlantic thing. I also kind of wanted to talk about Adele a little bit.
Oh yeah, hit us with some Adele, especially since she's culturally relevant at the moment with her.
Exactly.
Her big single.
So when Adele talks, she has a ridiculously thick Cockney accent.
It's a joy to listen to. She's just like someone you'd love to go to the pub with. It's very much the vibe.
But when she sings, this doesn't come through as much. And part of the reason for this is the other thing that kind of dissolves accents when you're singing in a style like Adele, or in like a more theatrical or traditional like pop style.
Yeah.
And that is enunciation.
Ah, enunciation.
So I found this example on the internet talking about the song Hello. And so... if you'll think back to Adele's hit song, Hello.
Oh,
everybody will know it.
the hello in it is not particularly American. It's not like super, doesn't sound super Cockney, but it does have that kind of English like hello, like almost an A sound.
Yes, yeah.
But when you get to the, but it don't matter, it clearly doesn't tear you apart anymore. you get a really big divergence from her speaking accent, and a lot of that is in the T's and the R's.
Interesting.
So a lot of kind of British accents will drop T's that are between vowels. So like, it don't matter.
It don't matter anymore.
Yeah. But if you want to enunciate that clearly to get the word to be understood, even though you're singing it, which makes words harder to like differentiate and stuff, you want to hit that T, that flap T, they call it.
It don't matter anymore.
Yes, exactly. And so already that is conforming more with like upper class British accents and also American accents.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going to be hitting R's on the end of words.
If you're Americanizing it.
Or if you want to make the words like enunciate more clearly, if you want them to be easier to understand in the song, so it doesn't tear. In a Cockney accent, you would be like tear.
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 Yeah.
T-E-A. You're not gonna
tear.
Yeah.
Yeah, like doesn't tear.
But you're gonna have that rhotic R on the end of it.
Ooh.
If you want it to come across clearly, so it's going to be tear.
We're getting some good observations from the listeners coming through here. Someone said Bob Marley talks and sings very differently. He's got thick patois when he's talking, but he's got much more like I guess like Americanized enunciation when he's singing as well. Somebody else has said that Marlon Williams has apparently said that in New Zealand he's been told he sounds American, and in America he's been told he sounds very New Zealand, so go figure. And we've also had someone say Look for the Good in Others by The Chills has got beautiful vowels in it.
Oh, I love Look for the Good in Others. They'll see the good in you. And that you is another, like, in New Zealand, that's slightly strangled. So when you sing that like Martin Phillips, it's right up in your nose. You.
Nice.
And if you were to sing that in a more, like, traditional, if you were Adele singing that, it would probably be like, you. Right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, and so I think while it will sound Americanized to like American people, it's not going to sound American, but because there will still be, I mean, there are parts of your accent that aren't affecting it, right?
Yes, and what parts would those be like in particular?
Well, there are like certain consonant sounds, certain vowel sounds that are not necessarily changing that dramatically.
Yeah.
Like if you think about people who sing in really, really American accents, like when we listen to Jonathan Bree, there's the R's are really exaggerated. The E's, like there's quite a twang to it.
Definitely. I mean, Blink-182 is one of those bands that like it's got such an accent. Like it's almost impossible to sing that song without having to do the voice as well. You know what I mean? You kind of have to get into character if you're doing it karaoke styles.
Yeah, for sure. And there's an article like online somewhere where they talk to a linguist about Tom DeLonge from Blink-182's singing accent, and there are parts of it where the linguist is just like, yeah, I don't know where that comes from. That's just invented that. And I mean that is partly what you end up with. You end up with people who have accents that they use for singing, mm-hmm. you know, that work with their body to produce like clear notes, clear enunciations, or notes that they like and enunciations that they like that might not be their accent but are not any other specific accent. I'm thinking specifically of people like maybe David Bowie. Has kind of invented just a special voice to sing in that is not how he talks.
No, it's not. I mean,
but it's not like American. It's just, you know, he stole it off the guy from Van de Graaff Generator.
I mean, you could look at Aldous Harding as well. She throws her voice around all over the place, like, you know, not only like range-wise, but she's changing the way words sound within a song. She'll say it like a couple of different ways. It's a really interesting way of sort of confusing that, where that voice is coming from a little bit.
Yeah, I think Aldous Harding is actually a really good example because vocalists like Aldous Harding and I think also Kate Bush, if you listen to Kate Bush, there's like an intentional play with consonant and vowel sounds to make them more characterful. So it's not necessarily just about emotive power and clarity of like understanding. It's about character and like performance and theatricality, and then you can add a whole other level where you might think, I want to strangle this vowel, you know?
Yeah.
I want to push hard on this T and then not pronounce this T at all.
Nice.
And yeah.
It's fun. Play with it. Don't be scared. We better listen to this Brunettes track you've picked for us, Moon and June Stuff. Nice example of two very different New Zealand voices in a song, playing with accent or pronunciation in very different ways. Thank you, Amelia, for bringing us this very interesting topic today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, my pleasure. Oh, one more note.
Go on.
I should say that there's an extent to which people just are like, I don't know. No, so this is not the definitive word on it, but exploring some of the reasons.
Excellent. Cheers, Amelia. We'll see you later. All right.
Bye.
Sing my love songs about the moon and June stuff, 'cause I'm gaga for the girl even though she's a lunatic. And true, I'm just a kid and it's no secret that when I sing I like to sound American.
Moon and June Stuff by the Brunettes. Some good accents going on there. Thank you, Amelia Discreet.
Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.